I want to point out, if you'd like, a couple of details with those of you with young ones. We have an area over here that we have some tables and crayons set up. And then also straight through the doorway here in the hall, we have a nursery room. There's some play toys. We have a video, and you can hear what's going on in there if you'd like to take advantage of any of that. I just want to make you aware of that, those that are visiting. Again, I just want to welcome you and thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us this morning on Easter Sunday. I just want to just say a special thank you to those that came out early this morning to prepare and serve our breakfast. We had a pancake breakfast. We had some of individuals out at 6 o'clock this morning on the grill with sausages and pancakes, literally as big as your head or larger. But it was a wonderful time, and I just want to thank those that served and were a part of that. Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Here at Harvest, we've been going through, we finished a two-plus-year study of the book of Romans, and we are currently embarking on a shorter book of James. And so we've looked at we're winding up the first chapter of James, and our verses this morning, we had started last week in 12 and 13 and moving our way down. And these verses fit amazingly and weren't planned that way, fit amazingly into our Easter morning together here. And so we want to continue that, and I want to share what's been on my heart with the message and what I've been reading in the book of James. In the book of James is a very practical book. It gives us very practical ways to live our faith out. In the book of James, we see that there are obedience, opportunities for obedience are everywhere, and that our genuine faith acts. We're going to be in James 1, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to begin in 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So again, if we could summarize verses 2 through 18, it would read, trials and temptations are both inevitable, they are going to come, and God intends both trials and temptations, both can deepen our faith. We talked last week where we know that we can be comforted and fortified going into a trial or a test, because we know God is sovereign over all things. God is sovereign over the tests, the trials, the storms that we may be going through in our lives. Trials are never outside of God's control, and he can accomplish His purpose through those times. We talked about, which is where we're going to kind of pick up this morning, we talked about the fact that mankind is fallen. We are a sinful, broken people in need of a Savior. We are selfish. We don't want to be uncomfortable, especially when it hurts, when we're faced with trials of any different size. Our default nature is the easiest way out. God, in His infinite wisdom, has provided both a Savior and a process for drawing closer to Him. And both of those are up to us to work out. We talked about four different things as we go through and step through these trials, that lessons that we are able to draw from and glean during this time. The fact that we can learn to grow in God's likeness during times of trial, that we can learn to trust in God's wisdom in those times, learn to trust in God's resources, that He will provide for us, and lastly, that we will have the ability to learn to live specifically for His reward, and for no other purpose but to bring glory to Him, and that His reward, knowing that we are doing His will and living in His word, is all that we need in our hearts. So as we summarize these verses, we saw that both trials, but in Scripture now we also see that temptation is one of those inevitable things. See, it's our sinful desire within that leads us to give in to temptation. It's our sinful desire that leads us into a time of temptation. God does not tempt us. He leads us into times of trials, and there may be tests. We may be given opportunity to choose one thing over another thing. But God does not tempt us. He's unable to tempt us. God is not a sinful God. God is a perfect and sovereign God. Scripture tells us that we read through that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. It's our sinful desires, our longing, our human nature of wanting to take the easy way out, or trying, our selfish nature that leads us into these times of temptation. I think Paul says it best in Romans 7:18, where he says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh." Temptations are an easy way out. For me, in times of temptation, it's what I want. It's what I desire. My selfish nature wants to prevail, and that, in most instances, is the easiest. Trials and decisions are in front of us each and every day, and with each come temptations that are born solely from our fallen nature. The scripture that we just read through guided us through kind of four dynamics as we move into this temptation, as temptation gives way to sin. First is deception. The heart of sin is unbelief. The questioning. Questioning that if what God is telling us is really true, if what God wants for us is really the best for us. We deceive ourselves. And that deception then, we read, then our desires take over. Temptation appeals to our desires, attracts us, but hides the fact that it will kill us. The language here in Scripture carries the idea of baiting a hook. The weather is starting to get pretty nice outside, and I know a lot of guys that are sitting here and gals that have been spending some time rewinding their reels and being ready. Bobby, I'm staring straight at you. When the moment's right to jump in the boat and take off. And the whole idea is to present something to this fish that it's not really what it is. It looks like food. Maybe nowadays with technology even tastes like food. But it's not food. So we see in Scripture how this is written, that we become baited and lured and enticed by our sinful nature, the desire. That gives way to disobedience when we act on our desires. Our desires that are inconsistent with God's nature. Our fleshly human desires. See, we long to have God, through His Spirit, line our desires up to make them His desires. But it's when our earthly human desires take over and we act on them when we come into this point of disobedience. And when that disobedience continues, it gives and comes full circle. The result is death. Brothers and sisters, whatever sin you may be flirting with, whatever deception you may be buying into, or desires you are fulfilling, I pray that you would run away from them. Scripture tells us to flee. It's my plea that you would run from those, running away from sin, running away from these temptations, running directly to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is all-knowing, all-powerful, loving, and just. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to walk among His people, to live among them, and to ultimately die among them. I had a time this week trying to wrap my mind around that. We came to a point where we celebrate or recognize on Friday, Good Friday, as that day of crucifixion. There came a point on this earth that Jesus, the Son of God, was laid in that tomb, beaten and broken, and He stopped breathing. he laid in that tomb and the blood ceased to flow through his veins. Jesus died. When I begin to wrap my mind around why, it's, I just can't fathom that. I can't understand that. It doesn't compute in my human brain. Jesus stopped breathing. And on the third day, we are here this Easter morning to celebrate the fact that our Heavenly Father breathed life into him again. Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sin, for you and for me, to be that, to pay that ultimate sacrifice so that we would not be under a bondage of sin, but that we would be under this redeeming power of our Father's grace. It's when you look at these last two verses through that lens and in that light, we find a comfort in knowing that our salvation, if we place our faith in Christ, is secure because God is unchanging. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. There is no shadow due to change. He is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. As a Christian placing our faith in Christ, again, we are no longer under the bondage of sin, but instead we are under the redeeming power of our Father's grace. With that said, I have a word for you this morning. As I was driving down to visit Emily, our little one that we're adopting, Miss London had come down at a week old with a respiratory infection, and we were told it would be best to go down to one of the hospitals to so that if she does take a turn for the worst, we're in good hands and have the care that we need. And so Emily took her down to St. Mary's, and she was admitted overnight. And I went down that evening, and as I was driving, just this sense came over me. God was speaking to me, because I was thinking about these verses, I was thinking about London and the family, I was thinking about just the grace and the love that he has for us. And as I was driving, this is what came to my mind, and I think it applies this morning. To not be caught up in what we are saved out of. To not be caught up in what we are being saved out of, but to be caught up and consumed by what we are being saved into. We celebrate this time when one comes, when Alexis came forward and placed her faith in Christ. We know from Scripture that she will be saved. She has a saving faith in Christ. She has been delivered out of sin. She has been delivered. Her faith has delivered her out of hell. But too oftentimes, individuals or the church, that's what they're focused on, what they're trying to stay away from. No, I'm a Christian. I don't want to go there. But when we spend too much time caught up in what we want to say out of, then I've seen myself and others begin to start to play this game of, am I being good enough? Am I doing the bare minimum to continue to be saved out of that? Well, one, once we place our faith in Christ, it's not our works that do that. It's not the things that we do. It's our heart that save us. But it's easy to begin in that mindset when you're caught up and all you're worried about is what you're being saved out of. But instead, to be consumed with what you're being saved into. Into a relationship with Christ. Into a family of believers. Into fellowship with one another. Into this mission that He has commissioned each and every one of us as messengers, being saved into this faith family that extends well beyond these brick walls, being caught up and being consumed with what we're being saved into. We are redeemed if we have placed our faith in Christ, if we live our lives in faith. My challenge is to live a redemptive life, live a life of redemption. To share your burdens, to share your trials, to share your joys with those around you, to continue to do life together in community, to draw deeper and closer in learning more through God's Word. We are redeemed to live a redeemed life. If you would pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, God, as we come together just to celebrate this time, this just a time that I struggle to even put my arms around the fact that Your Son, Jesus Christ, stopped breathing. He died to be the ultimate sacrifice for me. God, I praise You, worship You, adore You. God, it's just in this time that I would pray. God, if there's someone, some family, some individual that does not know You as their loving, just sovereign Savior. God, that your Spirit would just touch their heart. God, that they would be able to come and seek what that is. God, I pray that those of us that have placed their faith in you, that God, you would show us what it looks like to live a life of what we are saved into. Show us how to flee from temptation. Show us how to flee and shed our human nature and begin to take on the attributes of you, of your will, God, of your nature, that our heart's desires would become your heart's desires. And God, that's what we pray here this morning, that we would have your heart's desires. God, we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.